Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge Zwischenspiel. Am Mikrofon begrüßt Sie Katrin Brunner aus der Dramaturgie. Unser heutiger Gast ist jemand, der viele Gegensätze in sich vereint, italienische und ja tatsächlich auch japanische Tugenden. Er beweist künstlerischen Mut, wenn er, wie auf seiner letzten CD mit dem Orchestra La Scintilla, auch mal Verdi und Vivaldi miteinander kombiniert. Und er zeigt Humor, wenn er abwechselnd mit Gartenschlauch, Korkenzieher und Würstchenspieß auf YouTube ein Quarantificat dirigiert. Vor allem aber gehört er zu den wichtigsten Barockgeigern unserer Zeit. Er ist Gründer des Barockorchesters Il Pomodoro, Chefdirigent des Mozarteum-Orchesters in Salzburg und ständiger Gastdirigent der Scintilla am Opernhaus Zürich. Herzlich willkommen, Riccardo Minasi.
Hallo.
Hallo, benvenuto.
Grazie.
Riccardo, der Grund, warum du jetzt hier in Zürich bist und wir uns live im Studio treffen können, ist eigentlich ein sehr schöner. Du bist hier für eine Mozart-CD-Aufnahme mit einigen Mitgliedern der Scintilla, wo du als Geiger mitwirkst. Darüber wollten wir reden, aber jetzt sitzt du mir ganz blass gegenüber. Ihr musstet die Aufnahme vorerst abbrechen. Riccardo, was ist passiert?
Yeah, unfortunately, I slept like a sack of potatoes on the railway track of the tram at the railway station, and I broke a finger. So we were obliged to postpone the entire production, unfortunately, but we're going to realize it in August for sure. And it has been a very strange period, because that happened exactly after 10 days of intense work. Of rehearsing, and it's like that, the life. Apparently, the quarantine didn't stop yet. it's a very challenging project, because of course the recording project was around three pieces of the chamber music production by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart: the clarinet quintet, the horn quintet, and the oboe quartet with the members of La Scintilla. And it was a very intense period of rehearsing and knowing each other really much better. Because, of course, normally I met all those musicians and friends, I can say now, many times in a very larger group. Working details and trying to get into the sound of each one, working deeply, for example, on the intonation, on the production of sound, on finding each other musically, and not with only me establishing more or less a direction in the musical choices, was extremely interesting and extremely exciting. It's a really a chamber music project. So each one has a really the full control about the final product. And that was extremely interesting, I have to say. I hope we can realize it in August, I really hope.
Also Scintilla Ghost Chamber Music könnte man dieses Projekt betiteln. Es wird mit einer kleinen Besetzung gespielt, hast du gesagt. Du bist als Geiger mit dabei und eben eine Art Primus Inter Pares. Das sind drei Kammermusikwerke mit obligaten Bläserstimmen. Warum schreibt Mozart für so eine außergewöhnliche Besetzung?
Well, he composed these three specific pieces in three different moments of his life and for specific musicians. He addressed those pieces to, for example, the oboe quartet was composed for the oboist who took the role of a first oboe in the Idomeneo production in Munich. And the horn quintet was written for his beloved friend Leutgeb. And the clarinet quintet for Stadler, for whom Mozart basically composed all the most inspired pieces written for clarinet, Clemenza, Aria, and the clarinet concerto, etc.
Auf eure CD mit dem Hornquintett, dem Klarinettenquintett und Oboenquartett müssen wir zwar noch etwas warten, aber hören wir immerhin etwas aus der Zeit, in der Mozarts Oboenquartett entstanden ist. Eine äußerst kreative Zeit für Mozart. Es sprudelte aus ihm heraus, ihm schmerzten sogar die Finger vom vielen Notenschreiben. Mozart war in München weg vom Vater und mitten in der Komposition zu seinem Idomeneo. Aus Idomeneo hören wir jetzt einen Ausschnitt aus der Arie Fuor del Mar, ein Sturm tobt in meiner Brust. Es singt Juan Diego Flores, Riccardo Minasi leitet das Orchestra La Scintilla. Das war Juan Diego Flores als Idomeneo. Riccardo Minasi leitete das Orchestra La Scintilla. Riccardo, wenn man sich deine Diskografie anschaut, fällt auf, dass Mozart gerade einen kleinen Schwerpunkt in deinem Schaffen ausmacht. Riccardo, was bedeutet dir Mozart generell und was bedeutet er dir gerade jetzt in diesen schwierigen Zeiten?
Well, I think the patrimony that Mozart left is really for the humanity one of the biggest presents, I think, ever. Well, he was able to put together different styles, different composing techniques, and everything translated in such of incredible perfection that is really astonishing nowadays still. And what is fascinating about the entire repertoire of Mozart that sometimes is not maybe really considered is the fact that he was looking at the opera as the main target of his compositional techniques. And we must really remember that always, even when we approach, for example, the chamber music. And so one of the most interesting things, aspect, I think, of what we are preparing for this new recording of chamber music by Mozart with La Scintilla was to put on the light spot the theatrical affetti that are typical of the Mozart language, without words and without singers with this chamber music.
Und das hilft auch, wenn du dann mit Musikern musizierst, die auch Oper eben spielen.
Absolutely. And it was very interesting, I have to say, because everyone knew exactly which role they had to somehow translate with their instrument. We had a Fiordiligi, we had a Masetto, we had I don't know, Il Conte. We had so many different situations that we were somehow recognizing while we were rehearsing. And they said, oh, look, do you hear you are a Zerlina? Definitely.
So you had comedy and tragedy, everything.
Absolutely,
together.
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
Ricardo, du bist zwar jemand, der aus der historisch informierten Aufführungspraxis kommt, aber du führst Werke des Barock und der Klassik nicht ausschließlich mit Orchestern auf, die auf historischen Instrumenten spielen, wie die Scintilla, sondern genauso mit Orchestern, die auf modernen Instrumenten spielen, wie mit deinem Salzburger Mozarteum Orchester oder auch dem Ensemble Resonanz. Warum geht das für dich genauso gut?
But you know, the question is that when we approach, let's say, how we used to say nowadays, this repertoire, the early repertoire, with an historical perspective, a historical scientific perspective, we have to consider different elements. First, even having recordings of players performing 50 years ago, we are not able nowadays to make a reproduction exactly of the stylistic, features of those players. How we can pretend after two centuries to reproduce exactly something that happened and we cannot even hear. So in terms of practical realization, this is totally an utopy. On the other side, we have to consider many things that are not fixed. Nowadays, we are really quite often thinking in terms of boxes. We have the early Baroque, late Baroque, these two different boxes. Then we have the box of the Classicism. But all those transitions were absolutely harmonious and crossing each other. The other thing is the praxis is something. The interpretation is something else. The interpretation is, a way, in my opinion, but I think maybe also among others, other colleagues, the interpretation is somehow making living a right, like an opportunity to get together and living what is printed on a score or what is handwritten on a score, if you prefer. And the praxis are those elements, those informations that we know and that we somehow we must apply to the performance in order to understand better what is written by the composers. Because we don't have to forget that writing music was always something that the musicians were fighting with. Because of course, on paper you cannot write everything you need to put on paper to inform the players how they should perform the music the composer they had in mind. So are two elements that you should consider different. Then there are other aspects like the organology, for example, regarding instruments, because you mentioned the so-called early instruments, the original this word, original instruments. And there are so many different characteristics that strings, pitches, for example. There are so many elements that if you put all those, let's say, those elements of the puzzle together, then you come up with something that is has not a fixed form at all. So it's impossible to declare a truth about anything. And just we have to live with the incertitude and trying to do our best to deliver those pieces we love in the best way, I think.
Wie Mozart auf modernen Instrumenten klingt, aber genauso historisch informiert, das hört man auf deiner neuesten CD mit dem Ensemble Resonanz, einer CD mit den letzten drei Sinfonien von Mozart. Aus der allerletzten, der Jupiter-Sinfonie, hören wir jetzt einen Ausschnitt, und zwar den Anfang des vierten Satzes, das Molto Allegro. Das war der letzte Satz, das Molto Allegro aus der Jupiter-Symphonie. Es spielte das Ensemble Resonanz unter der Leitung von Riccardo Minasi. Ja, Riccardo, wenn man diese CD hört, hat man das Gefühl, diese Jupiter-Symphonie ist tatsächlich kein Konzertstück, sondern wirklich für die Oper komponiert.
Well, the rhetorical gestures in the Jupiter Symphony are so distinguished, so clear, in my opinion, that of course it's everything is offered in a golden plate by Mozart himself, and I think it's very important to underline. Let's say this recording that you kindly you transmitted was loved and hated at the same time. By critics, in the sense that we cannot deny that all the things that maybe I was underlining, maybe excessively, are in the music, are written down by Mozart. And I was adding nothing from my, I don't know, personal and subjective instinct. But it's true that those elements are sometimes in contraposition, sometimes are part of a certain specific pattern that Mozart's technical composition was based with, and in my opinion, they need to be understood. And maybe sometimes with pieces that they had such a big and huge tradition of performance, they should be underlined maybe a little bit more in order to make the audience aware of what's going on in the score. I always love to remember one sentence that the great Nicolas Ornoncourt said once regarding his experience with the G minor 40 symphony. He was saying he was playing, I think, in Wiener Symphonica as a cellist. And during the first movement, he turned and they saw two ladies in the first row in the public saying, "Oh, Mozart, he's so cute." So something like that. "He's so nice." When the first movement of the G minor symphony, maybe it's one of the most dramatic pieces that Mozart ever composed. In that moment, Ornoncourt was mentioning always, in that moment, I understood that what I was doing was wrong. I always love this example because, in fact, if we hear, for example, the amazing recording he did with the Concertos Musicos and also the previous one with the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, we can understand that the Mozart of Ornoncourt, of the G minor symphony, is not a Mozart that is smiling. It's not a cute Mozart at all. And so we have to consider all those elements and the fact that Mozart was an extremely revolutionary composer. Let's say before moving to Bonn, the revolution was already in Salzburg in an embryonal state, I would like to say.
Riccardo, lass uns doch jetzt über dich sprechen. Wenn man dich im Konzert so erlebt, dann sieht man einen leidenschaftlichen, feurigen Musiker, typisch italienisch, würde man sagen. Du bist ja Römer, aber du hast auch japanische Wurzeln. Das verrät zumindest dein zweiter Name Masahide auf deiner E-Mail-Adresse, habe ich gesehen. Welche Seiten von dir würdest du als typisch japanisch bezeichnen?
Oh, it's difficult to answer that. I don't know. What I can tell you is that I had a very nice and touching experience a few years ago when I conducted for the first time a Japanese orchestra. I was with the Tokyo Metropolitan Orchestra in Tokyo. And I had a shock because I felt really at home. And that was something that I always somehow ignored because I lived the biggest part of my life in Italy, of course, and I spent just few months just during the vacation visiting, let's say, friends and parents in Japan. But talking also, I remember with the concertmaster of Tokyo Metropolitan Orchestra, he said, but maestro, when we saw you, we understood immediately you were Japanese, you are one of us. So I don't know how it's translated in terms of, I don't know, indolent character. What I found very interesting about the approach of Tokyo Metropolitan Orchestra was this incredible discipline, this incredible dedication, devotion, and playing almost every note like the last of their life. And it's something that I don't know, in the good or the bad, I'm trying to do as well. So maybe this is quite Japanese, maybe. I don't know.
Stimmt es, dass du ganz wenig Schlaf brauchst, auch wie Japaner?
Well, I don't know. My mom, she's Japanese 100% and she sleeps a lot. I don't know if Japanese people is really, they are not sleeping so much. Well, they have the fame to be great workers. I work a lot, I have to say, but I'm always with fun. I'm trying at least.
Ricardo, du hast angefangen als Barockgeiger. Das Dirigieren nimmt aber immer einen größeren Platz in deinem Leben ein. Du dirigierst mittlerweile auch modernes Repertoire. Wie schafft man das eigentlich, Solist und Dirigent in einer Person zu sein? Das sind ja eigentlich zwei Berufe auf einmal.
Yeah. You do both badly and then you go. No, I don't know, in fact. Yeah, it's true. It's difficult. I think I'm curious and I like both, and I'm trying to keep, let's say, both feet in the two different shoes. And yeah.
Ricardo, dann hören wir dich doch mal als Geiger, und zwar mit einem Ausschnitt aus der ersten Sonate der Rosenkranz-Sonaten von Heinrich Ignaz Franz Bieber, etwas vom Schwierigsten für die Geige überhaupt. Ricardo Minasi wird begleitet von Bizzarrie Armonique.
Thank you.
Das war Riccardo Minasi mit einem Ausschnitt aus Biebers Rosenkranz-Sonate. Riccardo, machen wir einen Sprung. Du bist einer der Ersten, der hier im Opernhaus wieder live auftreten wird. Julie Fuchs ist die Solistin. Was glaubst du, mit welchen Gefühlen wirst du auf die Bühne gehen?
That will be interesting. You know, it's strange because before the lockdown, the last concert I did was in fact in the same stage. Was here in the Opera House, was the Zelenka project. And the concert, if I'm not wrong, was the 9th of March. And already at that time, the atmosphere was different. We had less separation between stage and audience. And that was really clear since the beginning, since we came on stage, fewer people and an atmosphere that were really much more sweeter somehow. I remember, for example, something that really touched me during that concert. Two people in the audience, after a very nice movement, a very nice and cute slow movement from a concerto by Einichen, played wonderfully by Maria Goldschmidt, the first flutist in La Scintilla. These two persons, they said, "Ah, schön." And I turned to them laughing. I said, "Right, it wasn't so good. It was so great." And everyone started to applaud. It's something that normally, in the past times, I never experienced something like that. Even talking with the public about what we were doing on stage. That was so nice, I have to say. So I'm extremely curious after this period of social distance, how we will experience coming back and again having this right, this celebration of life all together, public and musician stage.
Was glaubst du, wird das mit den Abständen zwischen den Musikern sein, die eingehalten werden müssen? Wird das schwierig für die Musiker, sich gegenseitig zu hören, gerade auch bei barocken Instrumenten, die ja doch insgesamt viel leiser, feiner als moderne Instrumente sind?
Well, I think we can hear each other. Maybe it will be more difficult, but maybe it will challenge more the musician to force themselves to listen more. Because sometimes, even if we are 5 centimeters apart from each other, we don't listen to each other. So, let's say maybe it will be something that will train everyone to listen to each other more. Yeah.
Auf dem Programm vom 9. Juli stehen Arien und Instrumentalsätze von Händel und Vivaldi. Und von Georg Friedrich Händel wollen wir jetzt eine Arie hören, aber nicht von einer Sopranistin gesungen, sondern von einem Countertenor. Javier Sabata heißt er, mit dem du eine Händel-CD mit dem schönen Titel Bad Guys aufgenommen hast. Wir hören eine Arie aus der Oper Tesio. Es singt Javier Sabata, es spielt Il Pomodoro unter Riccardo Minasi. Thank you. Das war die Arie «Voglio stragi, voglio morte» aus Händels Oper «Tesio», gesungen von Javier Sabata. Riccardo Minasi leitete «Il Pomodoro». Ja, «Voglio stragi, voglio morte» mit Gemetzel und Tod. So wollen wir unsere Sendung auf keinen Fall enden, aber vielleicht mit unserem obligaten Fragebogen, kurz gefragt, schnell geantwortet. Riccardo, bist du bereit? Ein Buch lesen oder Netflix-Serien gucken?
Well, definitely I prefer to read a book, but I have to say it's difficult. During the quarantine, I was watching Netflix a lot. So, and I read only one book. So, well, I don't know, both maybe.
No problem. Tiefkühlkost oder ein selbstgekochtes Sternemenü?
Ma stai parlando con un italiano. First class meal, of course. Porca miseria.
Zum Glück. Dann auch die nächste Frage, die wird wohl klar sein. Lieber eine Flasche Rotwein gegen die Krise oder grünen Tee? Wobei, du bist ja eben halb Japaner.
Red wine. Here, Italy is winning. Italy 1, Japan 0.
Den Tag streng strukturieren oder sich treiben lassen?
Dolce far niente, yes.
Molto simpatico. Altes aufarbeiten oder etwas Neues anfangen?
No, finish something, absolutely. Otherwise, no, I cannot go on, really. This is Japan 1, Italy 0.
Liest und schaust du ganz viele Nachrichten oder nur das Nötigste?
Well, I'm trying to keep me informed every day from newspapers, and I'm reading a lot about the news. I don't do that for fanatism or for a specific reason. It's just, I do it, yeah.
Was fürchtest du mehr, eine neue Welle der Neuansteckungen oder die große Wirtschaftskrise?
Well, neither of them are really, in fact, in my life, essentially.
Und zum Schluss, eine Krise ist immer eine Chance oder ich kann Krisen nichts Positives abgewinnen?
No, always a crisis offers the new opportunities, always. This is back in the history of the Roman Empire, let's say. After a big crisis, there's always a moment of reflourishing. And somehow we should be, let's say, somehow glad that we are living maybe in that period. I'm extremely positive about the future. I think we are going to have a big reflourishing of a new era.
Vielen Dank, lieber Riccardo, für das Gespräch. Gute Besserung für den Finger und gute Heimreise.
Thank you so much. Grazie mille.
Ihnen allen zu Hause vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Am Mikrofon verabschiedet sich Katrin Brunner. Für Ton und Schnitt war Alain Pauli zuständig.